Okay, well, welcome everyone. Still people coming in the room, which is great. Quite a few here already. I'm Matthew Janosowskis with HumanWare USA, and here to introduce the presenter for you is Dan Brown. Dan has been with HumanWare for a number of years now, and Dan is currently filling the role of sales representative for Texas for our blindness products. So Dan is going to talk to all of you about Keysoft 7.5 that we released recently. He has a few things he wants to highlight, do a bit of demonstration. There's a document there on your screens that blind people can get to by pressing F6 and then can read it with the screen reader. And then once Dan is finished, he'll be happy to take questions and answers and leave plenty of time for that. So thanks for your patience while Dan covers a little bit of material, and the rest of the balance of the time will be question and answer. That's what we like to focus most of our time on, and that's why we do these presentations. So with that said, Dan Brown.
Well, thank you, Matthew. As Matthew said, my name is Dan Brown, and I want to welcome you all to today's presentation for Keysoft 7.5. And this is a really excellent forum. HumanWare is glad that you've all signed in this evening because it gives us an opportunity not only to do some demonstration type things with you to show you, you know, give you a real listen to what's in Keysoft 7.5, but also, so as Matthew said, after we're done with the presentation, so that you can take the time to ask us a couple of questions if there's something which is not clear, or you know, some, maybe even if you already have Keysoft 7.5 and you know, you have something that you want to discuss, we can certainly do that. That having been said, I'm very fortunate and grateful to have Matthew here with me today. Matthew is our tech support manager, and so he's the techie of techies, whereas I, as Matthew said, am in sales. I use a Brillnet myself. I am blind, and so I know its ins and outs and how it works, but certainly not to the level of intricacy that that Matthew does. So once again, thank you for being here, and Keysoft 7.5. As all of you, I'm sure, know, Keysoft 7.5 is our latest version of software for the Braille Note, and it is, I want to highlight just briefly here, it is also the last version of our software that will work on units which are now called our classic units. And that's important to realize because you know, we started building the Braille Note in 2000, and it's come a long way since then. We've made a lot of different advances and enhancements for not only software features that you'll see today, but also various hardware features. And so one thing that I would like classic users to think about is to consider our transplant program that we are offering our users, and really have been ever since we released the Braille Note Empower a couple of years ago. And basically what this transplant program allows you to do is take your existing classic Braille Note, send it to us, and for typically, if you have the most current version of software on the unit, typically for about half the cost of what you would need to pay to purchase a brand new unit, we take that unit, we remove the Braille display, we obviously clean it, make sure that it's in good working order, and then we transplant there by the name, or move it over to a brand new Braille Note Empower shell, if you will. Put that Braille display in the Empower and make sure that it's working correctly, and then send the unit back to you, and at which point you have basically an Empower for, as I said, around half the cost of what it would have run you brand new. So definitely consider that if you are a classic user. We really did our best for all versions of Keysoft to feature as many of the new features that we could in the classic unit, but obviously there are memory restrictions and core processor restrictions that wouldn't let us do that for some of the advancements out there. So please keep that in mind. Keysoft 7.5, to speak about this directly, as Matthew said, I'm really just going to highlight some of the major features of 7.5. There's a lot there, and I want us to have plenty of time to have questions. So what I'm going to do is talk about the really the key points of the release, and I'll probably pause in between just to make sure everything is going okay, everyone's able to hear me all right, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to go into a document that I have, and it is...
New features available in Keysoft 7.5.
Okay, so these are our new features available. I just have a little bulleted list here.
Improved SD card and USB drive support and power only.
All right, so I want to talk about this first, the improved SD and USB drive support for the Empower. Not really something to demonstrate per se, because you plug in a USB thumb drive and the Empower generally says hard disk ready, or if you plug in a high capacity or a larger SD card, the Empower will say SD card ready, and that's what it should do. Right before we released Keysoft 7.5, we basically came out with a patch for Keysoft 7.2, which made these drivers, enhanced drivers, available. And so basically what we've done here is we've built that driver support directly into 7.5. So if you have 7.5, you don't need to download those drivers again. They are built into the product itself. And I won't say all. I think it's always, you know, kind of dangerous if you say, well, now we'll support all of the hard drives out there. I mean, that's just not realistic. But it does support a great number of the USB storage drives and SD cards that are out there. And I would say, you know, probably a vast majority of those will now work when you plug them into the Braille Note. So that's a good thing. Next item.
SSL email support.
The SSL email support. SSL is a secure socket layer, and it's basically for email service providers what a lot of companies are switching to. And it's basically a way of combating spam. You know, we all have these hundreds of messages sometimes in our inbox. We're not quite sure where they came from or even what their purpose is a lot of the time. And SSL is a way of combating that. What it basically allows a user to do for additional security is to log in or provide a username and password for both the server or computer that downloads the email, typically that's the POP server, as well as for the server that allows you to send messages, the SMTP server. And aside from logging in, it also allows you to make sure that that's a secure connection. And Gmail, which is run by Google, is a good example of a service provider which uses this system. And I have a Gmail account as well as some with other providers, but using that as the example, they've done a really good job in blocking spam. So we don't have, as in past email accounts that I've used, I found it to be extremely secure. The other very nice thing, by the way, is that, you know, there's a development stage, I think, that a lot of internet companies are going through. And unfortunately, to some extent, accessibility is not always on the front burner for these companies. And I'll be straight up with you guys, for a long time there, Google was not doing a particularly good job in making their site accessible as far as Gmail is concerned. And but in their defense, they did listen to complaints and recommendations that were made, and it is now possible to sign up to receive a Gmail account and configure everything about that site using a standard screen reader, whether that be WindowEyes or JAWS or Supernova, whichever one you happen to be using. And they offer the site in basic HTML. And, of course, it also works on the Braille Notes so that you can go online through our internet browser and check email that way. But even more exciting, with 7.5, you can configure Gmail so that it works through the Braille Notes email client. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the main menu on my Braille Note here.
Main menu.
And just show you what has changed for the email setup when you're configuring an SSL account. There's not really too much change, actually. There's just a couple of questions that you need to answer now that are different. So I'm going to press E.
Email menu.
There's the Keymail menu. I'm going to press S for setup.
Email setup menu.
There's an item here called directory of email accounts. Directory just being a list, so I'm going to choose that by pressing D.
Directory of email accounts menu.
And then we'll pretend like we're adding an account, so I'll press the letter A.
Entry list for directory of email accounts.
And it just gives me the entry list for the email accounts, and I can space down that.
Account name.
There's our account name. This can be whatever you want it to be. You can call it home, work, personal, what have you.
Username.
There's your username. Now, this is going to vary with particular service providers. Sometimes it's just your username. Sometimes it's your entire email address, but you would type that in. As you heard the Braille Note say, computer Braille is required here.
Password.
There's your password field. Obviously, you type your password there.
Your name.
There's your name.
Your email address.
And your email address.
Computer Braille is required.
Here again, computer Braille required.
Pop server. Computer Braille is required.
And Pop Server, as I said earlier, this is the computer that will allow you to download your messages.
Secure connection for Pop Server.
And
currently no.
This is the actual item that will allow you to configure your Pop Server to be SSL. And it basically says, do you want this to be a secure connection? And you would answer that with a Y for yes and for no.
SMTP server.
There's your SMTP.
Computer Braille is required.
And I'll space again.
Secure connection for SMTP server. Currently no.
All right, and then your secure connection for SMTP server.
SMTP authentication required. Currently no.
And then there's an additional layer that says SMTP, the server that sends your messages, authentication required. Basically, does your service provider want you to log in? Typically they will if they're using SSL, but every service provider is a little bit different there. I'm going to keep going down just for a little sec here.
Pop port. Currently 110.
Servers which are used to send and receive emails have numbered ports that they go through to do this. 110 is your standard POP port, and then for SMTP, I'll space.
SMTP port, currently 25.
All right, and that's set for 25. These are by no means universal settings. They're kind of the default settings that used to be in effect. Nowadays, of course, with combating spam and stuff of that nature, it's very frequent that your internet service providers will change these port numbers, and you'll need to ask them what those port numbers are for their service. It'll probably be different for each provider.
End of list.
And that's it. Those are just the questions that you'll need to go through to basically have your internet service provider ask, respond to for you, and that will give you all the information
record.
You need. I'm going to exit here. I don't want to add this record.
Main menu.
And I'm back to the main menu. I'm going to hesitate just for a second here, log off, and we're going to hold all questions to the end if possible, but I'll be right back in just a second. I want to make sure everyone's able to hear me and make sure everything's going well. I'll be right back.
Sounding great, Dan, and you've got a little over, and they're continuing to trickle in, but a little over 30 people listening, so sounds good.
All right, Matthew assures me that I can be heard and everything is sounding good. So I will continue. We were over SSL email support here, and as you can see, very few questions you really need to worry about there. Basically, if it's a secure connection, what your port numbers are, and then you'll be done. I'm going to skip down to the next item. I'm back in my file where we were talking about new features of KeySoft 7.5.
RFB and D Audio plus Daisy Books Empower and PK.
All right, so Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic has partnered with us, and what we're now able to do using KeySoft 7.5 is play RFB and D Books on the Braille Note. Now, a couple of things to keep in mind here. First of all, we have implemented this for Keysoft 7.5. It is in the product. But for RFBND, as I'm sure most people here know, they have acquired special permission from publishers to record these books for the use of the blind. Well, inherent is that in that statement is kind of what they're dealing with the publishers, and that is that before they can make the books accessible, they have to be certain that the people reading them are in fact blind, that you are authorized to use the service. And so for RFBND books, if you do wish to play those on the Braille Note, you will need to first contact RFBND and ask them for that ability, at which point they will, so far we have been told they are considering a $20, basically a sign-up fee, in order to enable that service. And then there will probably be a file that you download and install onto your Braille Note. It will be basically like a product key that you would install prior to, similar to the one you would install prior to installing a Keysoft release. And so that's the, you know, the mechanics of how it will work from RFBND. The one thing that I need to tell you is that while we are complete on our end, on HumanWare's side, for all of the functionality, and you know, we know that the RFBND books can be played in our devices, RFB themselves are still doing a bit of quality assurance testing. They want to make sure that the process works correctly for everyone concerned. And what we've been told is that hopefully that will be ready in October. And so we're probably, for the most current information, you'd want to contact either your local RFBND representative or their 800 number, and they can guide you as to when they'll actually be ready to take your order and implement this on the Braille Note. So I just want to show you how this works. It really is pretty simple, and will work almost exactly as though you're reading any other DAISY book on the Braille Note. Once you've installed your key, I'm going to go to the main menu. All right. You would then go into the book reader application, just as though you're going to read any other DAISY or Braille book. So I'll press a B.
Read book on which drive? Press enter for hard disk.
All right. And my Braille Note knows that I have a USB thumb drive plugged in, and it's asking me if I want to use that drive. I do.
Director.
So I will tell it, in fact, that I want to do that. And directory, what I'm going to do is I happen to have I have a directory called books, as you can hear, and that directory is subcategorized into various folders, and in each one of these folders I have various types of books. I'm going to space down this directory.
Subdirectories of hard disk Bookshare.
There's a Bookshare directory. Obviously I'm a member and download their books.
DAISY.
There are some DAISY books. Those are just plain DAISY books, though.
RFBND.
And there's RFBND. Okay, so that's that particular folder. I'm going to open up that folder. When you're scrolling down a list of folders on the Braille Note, you can press space with 5-6. That kind of opens up the folder tree, if you will.
Subdirectories of /books/.
And
Augustus.
I'm
going to
go down. Now, there are a couple of books that I have in here. There's Augustus, The Life of Rome's First Emperor.
Henry and Mudge,
which is a children's book.
James and the Giant Peach.
James and the Giant Peach.
No more subdirectories.
Okay, and that seems to be it as far as the folders.
James and the Giant Peach.
As far as the folders that I have on this particular thumb drive, at any rate. So what I've done here with RFBND, when you get books from that organization, they're still going to be contained on CD-ROM. All right, so you can request them online, but at this point you'll still need to wait for in order to receive them through the mail. And they'll send you that CD-ROM. You can then take the CD-ROM and put it into your computer, not because you're going to play it there, but because we don't have a CD-ROM drive on the Braille Note, obviously. So you're going to open up that CD drive and then copy all of the files that are contained on that CD, typically by doing a Control-A for select all, and then probably Control-C to copy. And once all of those files have been copied, you will then paste them onto some type of media, whether it's a USB thumb drive, an SD card, compact flash, whichever you prefer. The type of media really doesn't matter as long as it's large enough to hold the files in question. So I'm going to go to... we'll go up to... I think I'll stick with James and the Giant Peach here, and I'm going to hit enter over this book.
Directory. Press enter for slash books.
And it lists the directory. I'm going to hit enter again.
Book name.
And then my book name. I'm going to space.
List of all books in our disk slash books slash RFB and deeds. James and the Giant Peach.
And I hit space again. There's James and the Giant Peach. Without further ado, I'm going to hit enter here.
Loading book.
Use of this RFB&D Audio Plus book is limited exclusively to registered RFB&D members. Any other use is strictly prohibited by law. Please enter your RFB&D personal identification number to confirm that you are a current member and that you agree to the restrictions of copyright and the terms and conditions of membership.
Okay, this is a notice that you're going to hear whenever you open an RFB&D book for the first time. It basically... mistyped my code there. But it basically confirms that you are able to, that you know what the RFB&D code is basically, and that you're able to play the book. So it's not going to be played. Some people have asked me whether it's going to be played every time they open the book, and that is not the case. It only plays the very first time. And it's something that we have, you know, been asked to do by RFB&D basically, so that, you know, once again, they can assure that it's a valid user who's accessing the book and so forth. So that's why that appears there, and you should only hear it the very first time. Subsequent times when you open the book, then you're not going to hear that particular announcement. Okay.
Use of this RFB&D Audio Plus book.
And it's reading that to me again.
RFB&D members. Any other use is strictly prohibited by law.
James and the Giant Peach.
Okay, I had jumped out and I exited by error, and so I'm back in the book, and I typed in my authorization code. And it now tells me James and the Giant Peach. Now, when you're in a DAISY book of this nature, one of the first things that you'll probably want to do, since every DAISY book is a little bit different in how it's been marked up, is press space with the letter T, and it will tell you what levels of markup are then available.
Level 1.
I did space with T. Level 1, that's probably going to be available in every book. At a minimum, you would expect Level 1 to be available, because that would be typically your chapter numbers. If it's a book that has sections, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, with chapters underlying that, then you might have a Level 1 and even a Level 2.
Page.
I did space with T. This book doesn't have a Level 2. It just has the page markup underneath Level 1, so they've only marked up chapters and pages here.
Phrase.
A phrase, which is a standard markup in all DAISY texts.
Time jump 1 minute.
And then time jump 1 minute. If you actually want to jump around through the audio, you can certainly do that.
Level 1.
And now we're back to level 1. So if I'm in my book,
beginning of book,
I can jump to the top of the book by doing space with 1, 2, 3. And then I can move forward. As I said, a standard DAISY command, space with dots 4, 6. And we'll move forward through the level of a DAISY element you've selected, and space with 1, 3 will move backward.
James and the Giant Peach, a children's story by Roald Dahl. Read by the Miami Unit of Recording for the Blind, Incorporated, with the kind permission of the publisher, Bantam Books. Copyright 1961 by the author.
And I'm going to press space with 4, 6 again.
The complete set of tapes in their number one. Here is James Henry Trotter when he was about 4 years old. Reader's note.
And I'll do space with 4, 6 yet again.
Boy, number two. Here is James Henry Trotter after he had been living with his aunt
and
for
again.
Three whole years. Number three. It was at this point that the first...
Now I can stop audio narration of the book there by pressing my backspace with enter. And all of these commands are available if you do space with H.
Ebook help menu.
There's my help menu.
Daisy command.
The Daisy commands are right on top. And since we've had Daisy implemented in the Braille Note for a while, I won't belabor this too much longer. But just wanted to let you know
Exit.
That in
Chapter.
Once you have opened up the RFBND book, navigation through it is exactly the same as, say, if you downloaded a book from Bookshare, a Daisy book there, or you have a Daisy book from another source. All right. And that's pretty much it for RFBND support. I'm going to exit out here.
Exit. Please wait. Main menu.
Go back to the main menu, and I'm going to open up my document here again, where I have listed all of the various features.
RFBND Audio plus Daisy Books Empower and PK.
Thank you, and we'll go down again.
Built-in playlist support for Media Player.
Ah, the playlist support for Media Player. What we've done for Keysoft 7.5 is kind of the beginnings of implementing playlist support. I think of a playlist as basically allowing you to randomize songs and play them irregardless of where they are stored on your storage media. And this is a beginning to that eventual end, I believe. What we've done in 7.5 is we have allowed a user to plug in media that has multiple songs in one folder, and then the user marks the songs that they wish to play that are in that particular folder. And once those songs have been marked, they can start playback simply by pressing Enter. So this is a feature that, you know, as with all things, it will probably develop into something greater in the future, but this is what we have as of Keysoft 7.5. And I'm going to show you how that works. I'm going to go back to Main Menu.
Main Menu.
And press M for the Media Player.
Menu.
And M again for Media Player.
Play media file in which folder? Press Enter for General.
All right, so it has me in the General folder. What I'm going to do is press Backspace here.
Drive.
Go back to my hard disk by pressing H.
Hard disk.
And then I actually have a folder that's called Songs. So in my Songs folder, I'm going to just do a space and an S.
Songs.
There we are. And I'm going to hit Enter here.
Media file to play.
And we have
Braille is required.
Some basic selections here. I'm going to space down so that you can see what files are available.
List of media files in Songs folder. Aerosmith. Water song, Janie's got a gun, .mp3.
All right, so there's Aerosmith there at the top of the directory here. I beg your pardon. You'll have to deal with my musical taste as we're doing this particular demonstration. So sorry about that if you don't like my music. Aerosmith, we'll go ahead and mark that particular selection. So we'll basically say, yes, I want to play this song. Space with M allows you to mark.
Marked.
And I've just done that. If I press space with M again,
mark remove.
It will remove the mark. I'll put it back.
Marked.
Okay. You can also, if let's say you have a folder that you've collected all of the songs that you typically, you know, would like to play, and you want the Braille Note just to mark all of those. If you want to shortcut it here,
all files marked.
You can press Enter with dots 2, 3, 5, 6, and that will mark all of the files in that folder. So give you. You know, you don't have to go through and do them one by one.
All file marks removed.
That would probably be the most useful command to use. For example, if you have an audiobook or MP3 book that was on CD that you've put on removable media, such as USB thumb drive, that Enter with a drop G would allow you to quickly just mark all of the chapters in the book and begin playing them. So that's probably where I would use that.
Marked.
Okay, so I've marked my first choice here. I'm going to go down.
Billy Joel, Marvin Out, Anthony Song, .mp3.
There's Billy Joel. We'll go down without marking.
Dire Straits, So Far Away, .mp3.
And there's Dire Straits. We'll mark that one.
Marked.
And go down.
Eagles, Seven Bridges Road, .mp3.
There are the Eagles. I'll go down.
Santana, Put Your Lights On,
.mp3. Ah, Santana. We'll mark that.
Marked.
Space with M.
Sarah McLachlan, Soul of Grace, .mp3.
There's Sarah. I'll space past that.
Silly Wizard, The Ramblin' Rover, .mp3.
All right. Silly Marked. Wizard.
Sting, Fields of Gold, .mp3.
There's Sting.
The Cars, You Might Think,
The Cars. Mark. I'll mark that one.
The course, Ruby Tuesday.
And Ruby Tuesday at the very bottom there. All right, so we have a pretty good list of songs. I've marked a few of them and skipped over others. At this point, all you do is press Enter. And it's going to start off with Mr. Aerosmith at the beginning here. And I'm going to skip to the next track that's in my playlist, Space with 5-6. So I press Space with 5-6, and it goes down to the next song. Now here, at this point, I can very easily find out what track is playing, just as is standard when you're in the media player, Space with I.
Track, 2 of 6.
It says, gives me the track.
Title. Playlist 5.m3u.
And
track length, zero
tells me my track lengths,
sample rate,
so on and so forth. And I'll go down. Space with 5.6 takes me down to Santana. And we can keep skipping forward.
Do a song that.
That's Silly Wizard. Talking away there, that's the intro. And the Cars. Now what I can also do, I paused playback briefly so that you can hear me. When a song is playing, just as normal, you can jump around in the song, see your progress, by just pressing the touch cursor over the location you want to go to. So if I want to jump to the end, I press the very end one, and that will take me around. So it functions as does the RFB&D books, just as normal. Now, I can exit to main menu, and this would continue playing, but I'm just going to do space with E, and then go back to the main menu. And I just want to show you that here on the flash disk of the Braille Note, if we'll go into File Manager and then Directory.
Press Enter for our flash disk.
I pressed F folder for flash disk. There is now a new folder that you will see, and I'm going to press P.
Personal. Playlists.
And under my personal folder is a playlists folder. And every time you create a playlist, it's going to put a file in this folder. So if I
list
press enter here,
playlist 0.m3u.
So it playlist numbers them one at a time.
Playlist 2.m3u.
And they have m3u extensions, which is pretty standard for playlist files. And all of them are found here. And you can go back and play past playlists that you've created. So it does store them there. You can obviously go in and delete these if you wish, or give them different names. Perhaps you have some playlists that, maybe you have a folder that is more rock songs, another one that is classic songs, another one that's Celtic. So you can do a playlist for each one of those folders. All right. If you open up these playlists, all you would see is just the internal specifications of where the files are located and what their exact names are. And so you don't have to type those in by hand anymore. Those
main
are
menu.
Created automatically. I'll go back to my name. Document.
Document to open. Document to open.
Let's
folder
see
name.
Here.
Press enter for
I went to playlist.
General.
I need to go to general
document.
And then KeySoft 7.5.
Bookshare support for institutional accounts.
Just a few more notes to cover before I open it up for questions. We on the Braille Note, we have now opened up our Bookshare support so that it will work not only for regular individual accounts, but also institutional accounts. And there's pretty exciting news on that front, actually. Through Bookshare, they have received access to a grant, and they are now able to offer institutions serving the blind access to Bookshare at no charge. So that's pretty exciting for schools and other organizations out there, because it used to be that they had to pay by the book to do downloads, whereas now that access is free. So very exciting news there, and the Braille Note is able to assist you with reading those books.
Multilingual foreign language support.
We used to charge for each multilingual language that you wanted to add to the Braille Note. We currently support German, French, Spanish, and Italian, as well as English. But we've decided to include all of those in KeySoft 7.5. And so it's a very easy matter to go into your document and create multilingual passages as well as reading emails that, let's say, if you receive an email that's written in Spanish, you can now have that read back to you in that language. So there's no additional charge for those languages. If you have upgraded to 7.5, all of those four languages that I mentioned come with.
Unified English Braille, UEB.
Unified English Braille is something that people have been working on for a while, and it basically is trying to do exactly what the name suggests, have a unified code that people can use to eliminate some of the confusions of computer Braille and other shorthands types of Braille. And so the BrailleNote now supports UEB, and you can switch to that Braille grade just as you can grade 1, grade 2 in computer Braille. So if you choose to write in UEB, then you're able to create documents that that respect that code.
Duxbury Braille Translator upgrade.
We've also updated the Duxbury Braille Translator. That's not something that you're going to really have a hands-on experience with. It kind of runs in the background on the BrailleNote itself, but gives us a chance to take advantage of some Duxbury advances that are there.
New visual display application, KeyView.
And there's a new visual display application called KeyView. Now, this was mostly done because of Windows Vista, and so we wanted to keep as current as possible. The BrailleNote visual display is something that a lot of educators use to make sure that they can basically see what their students are doing, make sure that the students are where they need to be and on task and everything of that nature. So we did not want users of Windows Vista to be locked out, and so we have created KeyView to make sure that that access is still there for everyone. There are some more smaller features for KeySol 7.5, but those are the main ones that I wanted to talk about and highlight today. And thank you once again for listening to my presentation here. And I think I'll open it up to questions. So you're welcome to ask questions at this time.
Yeah, this is Tom from LA. You mentioned the multilingual capability for QSOF 7.5. How do you invoke different languages? Suppose someone who is multilingual wanted to switch, say, from English to Spanish and like that.
All right, thank you for that question. To enable languages, what you basically do is, I've returned to the main menu at this point, if you press U for Utilities,
Utilities menu.
There's a submenu underneath Utilities called Languages. I'll press L for Language.
Language options list.
And it takes me into the language options list. I'll space down at this point.
Enable Spanish. Currently, yes.
All right. Now, I have Spanish enabled for my unit. My sales territory is Texas, so we have a lot of Spanish speakers here. So I've enabled that language. If I space down.
Enable French. Currently, no.
Merci. I have not enabled French. I am in trouble. So that is not turned on.
Enable German. Currently, no. Enable Italian. Currently, no.
So as you can see, the only one I've really enabled here is Spanish.
Working language. Press Enter for English.
And then it allows me to specify my working language.
Default speech language.
And then my
press
default
enter
speech
for
language. So all of these can be changed as you desire. If
enable
I'm
Spanish.
If I go down to enable French, for example, all I have to do is press Y.
Yes.
That will enable French.
Enable German.
And I can exit out.
Preferred French Braille code. Currently French France.
All right. So when I exit, it says, oh, by the way, what French Braille code do you prefer? And I'll accept France. That's fine.
Preferred Braille grade for French. Currently grade 1.
All right. Braille grade for French, grade 1.
Main menu.
And then it returns me to main menu. So I've chosen those two options, and now I have that language also available. So that's how you choose it first off, if you want to go in and activate the key. After that, when you're in a document, you would use the Enter with L command to choose what language you're switching to. Your working or my working language is English, so when I first go into a document, it's going to set it up to be English. In that document, either at the top or further down later on in the document, I can choose to do Enter L and switch to Spanish or now French as well, and begin typing in that language. Do we have any other questions?
Hello? I'm not sure if you can hear, but we have a question here about the English Braille code, if that includes, is it just grade 2 and computer Braille? And then the other question has to do with the RFB.
RFBD or RFB&D book, do they have to be, is the key always going to be the same?
Regardless of the book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll let you answer. Thank you.
Okay, for RFB&D books, there is a four-digit number that is commonly used when you've installed a key on a player or some other device, even their even software like the Victor Reader Soft. And yeah, that number doesn't really change. That number is the same when you're entering. So they call it your PIN number, but that does not change. And I'm sorry, Mary and Lorelei, what was your other question?
I was just wondering on that English Braille code, was it just incorporating computer Braille into grade 2 Braille? I wasn't sure what else was being incorporated. Thank you.
If you're speaking about UEB, the Unified English, Braille, it's actually a different type of code. It's meant to eliminate some of the confusions of switching back and forth.
A question for you about the language stuff.
I'm sorry, I thought my microphone was on there. In regards to your question in regards to the English code, if you're speaking about UEB, that's an entirely separate code from grade 2 and computer Braille. It's meant to eliminate some of the confusion of having to switch back and forth. It's trying to, well, unify or combine both of those two. And gentleman with a question in regards to multilingual again.
Dan, this is Jerry Hogan in San Antonio. In the future, for those people that using Braille, and people like myself, I'm sure there's some of us in here does not use Braille, and I'm using a QWERTY keyboard, so I have to guess the command key that you're using. Could you try to, if you can, use what keys in the future? Appreciate that.
Sorry about that. I can certainly try and list both the QWERTY keyboard commands as well as the BT ones. I use a BT keyboard, so sometimes by default I think of those. So yeah, I can certainly do that. Sorry about that, Jerry.
Yeah, I could kind of figure it out, but not all of it. And I'm sure some people would have more of a difficult time than I would. So yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah, question about the multilingual stuff. I don't have any occasion to use another language, but I tried to turn it on. I did turn on, let's say, French, like you were doing there, and I was going to try and make a file, even though it's in English, speak it as if it was speaking French, because I don't have any French files. And it looked like it set a beginning and an ending point for French. I just could not make it speak a file just by turning that language on. Is there something else I have to do to enable that? Go ahead.
Yes. Typically, when you're in a file, as I said, your working language, Jim, is going to be English. So when you switch to a different language, such as French, there will basically be a French beginning mark and then an ending mark, that way delimiting where it starts and where it ends. So anything in between that should have been spoken in French or Spanish, whatever language you chose. If you're at the end of the file, it's probably just going to switch, have a language start, and then if you're very at the end of that file, you can keep typing until you're done and then switch back to English. So that should have worked for you. The one thing to realize as well is that for some languages, Spanish, actually I believe for all languages, Spanish, Italian, and German, you would need to use the Keynote speech synthesizer that's on the Braille Note Empower. And on the French language, I believe that only uses Eloquence for the speech engine.
Oh, okay. I didn't know any. I don't know anything. I've never tried the languages. Never had any reason to. But since I work with students who do take language courses, sometimes it'd be good to know. In this case, I was at the beginning of a file, and I enabled the. First I did what you did. I enabled the French language, and then I went into the file and I did the enter with the L, and I guess it turned it on. But then when I checked, you know, cursored around it, it had a beginning and an ending mark right next to each other. If I were to go down a few lines and did the enter L again, would that set a new mark?
Sorry, other people keep breaking in on me there, and my keyboard's acting strangely. Yes, Jim, to answer your question, if you had that mark, you type something between it and then move down, then it would enter a new mark in the document. What I've done in, I went into my file where I had originally typed in the new features of Keysoft, and I typed, basically switched to French, and at that point, now you can hear the speech. I type
information menu.
Oops.
Exit.
Get out here.
Oh yeah, like this. Structure less than it.
And so I said, this is a practice document. So.
Add the file. Structure. Practice. E. O.
And so on and so forth. So it will switch to French there.
Dan, this is Ramona from Humanware Australia. I wonder if I may add a little comment to your response regarding the UEB code.
Ah, yes, Ramona, please do. You're probably much more expert on it than I am, I dare say.
Well, I wouldn't say expert, but we do now use Unified English Braille as our official code in Australia, as have a number of other countries, English-speaking countries around the world, either planning to adopt it or have adopted it as their official code. The Unified English Braille code is just an additional translation table, so if you don't want to work in UEB, you can still use UK Braille, US Braille, or Australian Braille. If you are using UEB as your translation table, you can type and display in Grade 1 or Grade 2 Braille, but there's no longer the need for computer Braille because part of the Unified English Braille code was to, as Dan said, to unify different codes, including the computer code. So there's no computer Braille. Except for when you are filling out edit fields using KeyWeb, our web browser, if you are filling out edit fields when you're online, I believe you still need to use Grade 0 or Computer Braille at that stage.
That's my understanding also, Ramona, because when you are filling out those edit fields, you are interacting directly with the web, and so there's not an on-the-fly translator that's currently active. Are there any other questions I can assist people with?
If you're a student, is there dictionaries for these foreign languages available for your Braille note?
Thank you for that question, Jill. Currently, the only dictionary that we have is the Oxford Concise Dictionary for English. That's not to say at some point in the future there might not be other languages available, but at the moment, English is our only one.
Dan, when embossed settings Spanish to...
I apologize, John. I did not hear your question. Can you repeat, please? I'm sorry, John. I just hear hissing on your end that kind of goes in and out. So it sounds like you may be having some microphone issues. You want to try one more time?
Yeah, Dan, this is Tom in LA again. I'm totally unfamiliar with UEB, and so wouldn't have a clue in how to write in it. If I was to, say, take a web Braille book from MLS, which I've got a good number of them, and switch over to UEB, would the when I go into Book Reader, would that book be displayed in UEB then? So that I could, you know, get a feel for what it actually looks like?
No, Tom, the books that you're downloading or files that have already been created are the Web Braille books, for example, through NLS, are BRF files that have already been created. What you're speaking of would be more in line with a translator that would take and translate an existing file into something else. And it's not really that. If you're interested in UEB, there are probably documents online or even perhaps a resource that Ramona can recommend if you want to read up on what the individual the coding is for those for that particular type of Braille. Are there any other questions I can help someone with?
Yeah. When I try and spell check things, a lot of times it's like the Braille note won't recognize that I'm in English. The Braille language indication thing is $LG and then the letter. But a lot of times it'll just say either LGE for English or LG and then nothing after it. So when I try and spell check, it says the spelling dictionary is not installed. And that happens a lot of times when I paste things or when someone emails me a document, stuff like that. I have English and Spanish enabled, I think.
That's an interesting issue. I myself am not familiar with that. I do switch back and forth between English and Spanish fairly often, but I haven't seen that particular type of code. I know why the spell checker is telling you that. Obviously, when it encounters the part of the file that's in that foreign language, whether it's Spanish or French or what have you, it is quite correct. There is not a spell checker installed for that language on your Braille note. So that's why it's giving you the error that's going on there. If you're cutting and pasting, however, that shouldn't be happening if you're, switching, if you're not switching languages, if you're just cutting and pasting in English. So that may be an issue that you would want to bring up with our technical support staff, and perhaps they can research that for you as to why it's going on.
It's Ramona from Australia again. One good resource for UEB, if people want to follow up on that, would be www.iceb.org. ICEB.org. ICEB is the International Council on English Braille, and they were the overseeing body that brought the UEB to fruition.
Thank you, Ramona. That's very helpful.
You said there's no dictionary for foreign languages. I'm able to spell check Spanish,